Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. Then Yahweh said to Noah, "Come into the ark, you and all your household, for you alone I have seen to be righteous before me in this time." Noah is commanded to enter the ark with his family, household, and belongings. In chapter 6, we learn that Noah was a preacher. He tried to warn the inhabitants of earth of the coming disaster and to get them to repent to no avail. Now it is time for the deluge to start. Again, we are reminded that Noah, that he alone has been seen before him as righteous. Yahweh saves his family also. And this time means that he was the only one found righteous and blameless. We have studied in chapter 6 that the wickedness of man was great on earth and that he was thinking of evil continually. Chapter 6, verse 5. Elohim was sorry he had made man. Chapter 6, verse 6. The earth was corrupt and violent in Elohim's sight. Chapter 6, 11 and 12. Judging from the wicked and violent condition of mankind at this time, the people must have laughed, ridiculed, and spoke evil about Noah and his sons while they were building the ark. He was not noticed as righteous in the eyes of man, only to Elohim. They certainly weren't listening. Chapter 7, verse 2. You shall take with you of every clean animal by sevens, a male and his female, and of the animal that is not clean, two, a male and his female. Verse 3, also of the birds of the sky by sevens, male and female, to keep offspring alive on the face of the earth. Chapter 6, 18 through 20 describes for us what all was to enter into the ark. In those verses, we saw Noah and his family, two of all other living things and food for all. Verses 2 and 3 in this chapter are commandments to Noah from Elohim to include clean animals and unclean animals as well as other birds. We are not told what these unclean animals were, but certain animals were considered unclean in other areas of Scripture. The unclean animals were included for continuation of the offspring of these kinds. The clean animals would be used for the continuation of animal sacrifice as practiced by the Jews in various places in Scripture. We will see that Noah will offer to Elohim a sacrifice on an altar he builds right after he departs the ark when the waters have subsided. Chapter 7, verse 4. For after 7 more days I will send rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and I will blot out from off the face of the land every living thing that I have made. Elohim, in his grace and mercy, is allowing one more week for sinners to repent. Verse 5. Noah did according to all that Yahweh had commanded him. Righteous Noah followed Elohim's instructions entirely. Chapter 7, verse 6. Now Noah was 600 years old when the flood of water was upon the earth. Hamabul and Mayim are again used in this verse to describe a mighty deluge. Elohim had waited 120 years while Noah built the ark. Noah probably did not need this amount of time. This was because of Elohim's grace and patience while Noah was building the ark, preaching and warning the people of the global flood. Chapter 7, verse 7. Then Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him went into the ark because of the water of the flood. Noah and the remaining seven went first on the ark for a total of 8 persons. And verse 8, of clean animals and of animals that are not clean and of birds and everything that creeps on the ground. And 9, there went into the ark to Noah 2 by 2, male by male and female, as Elohim had commanded Noah. Next came the rest of the assigned creatures. Chapter 7, verse 10. And in time, after the 7 days, that the water of the flood came upon the earth. This is the beginning of the global flood after the additional 7 day grace period. Hamabul with Hayamayim is used here again. Remember that Hamabul means mighty, Genesis 6:17, and Hayamim refers to waters. Chapter 7, verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on the same day, all the fountains of the great deep burst open, and the floodgates of the sky were opened. It is apparent from this verse that Moses, the author and compiler of Genesis, was able to give a specific time to the day when the waters from the deep burst open and the water started falling. The combination of these two sources of water was going to devastate the entire earth. Earth's crust is ripped open with the sheer force of the water from the fountains of the great deep. This would have caused volcanic activity with the earth's magma and dust being sent into the atmosphere, accompanied by gigantic sprays of water, gas, and air, which together would trigger the downpour. This type of devastation is described in various publications from www.icr.org and www.answersingenesis.org. You can search these websites using the keyword flood. I've mentioned these websites before. This is an excellent source of material. www.icr.org and www.answersingenesis.org. Verse 12. The rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. As in verse 4, rain is mentioned again for 40 days and nights. Chapter 7, verse 13. In this same day, Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them entered into the ark. So Noah's sons are mentioned here for the first time in this chapter. The total is 8. You go to 1 Peter 3:20, where 8 were saved by water. Chapter 7, verse 14. They and every beast after its kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind. Verse 14 is explicit about every beast after its kind, along with cattle after its kind, and that's Mina. It includes every creeping thing after its kind, every bird after its kind, all sorts. These beasts surely would have included the very large kinds, however, as young and small in size. There was no need to take full-grown kinds of dinosaurs and other beasts, and there is no mention of species here in this record of living creatures. The word species has not been found anywhere in this Genesis account, only kind. The word species is not used in Scripture. Chapter 7, verse 15. So they went into the ark to Noah, two by two, of all flesh, in which was the breath of life. Two by two of all flesh that had to breathe. And they were not going to be drowned because they went in the ark. Verse 16. Those that entered, male and female of all flesh, entered as Elohim had commanded him, and Yahweh closed it behind him. My impression of the repeated events of the occupants of the ark is that Elohim wanted us, the readers of his holy word, to be absolutely certain that we fully understand that this is not a story or a myth, but fact. It's not a fable. These are historical, factual narratives. Every verse that starts with a V, which is called Vav in Hebrew, and it's pronounced like vine, is linking each successive verse together with the flow of factual narrative statements. You can find this throughout Scripture in many places. It's history. Yahweh himself had to close the door of the ark and not Noah. Yahweh waited 7 days longer, as recorded in verses 4 and 10, before the water deluge started. This was a grace period to allow sinners one more chance to enter in and be saved from the global flood about to occur. So it would be proper for him to decide when that grace period was to be ended, and not to rest the decision on Noah when to close the door. The door is referred in Scripture to Jesus, John 10:9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Chapter 7, verse 17. Then the flood came upon the earth for 40 days, and the waters increased and lifted up the ark so that it rose above the earth, or above the ground. The ark is above the earth and floats well. This is because Noah followed Elohim's instructions to the letter. Ham a bull for mighty is recorded again. We could call the global flood mighty. Chapter 7, verse 18. The water prevailed and increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. Water kept coming until it floated well. Chapter 7, verse 19. The water prevailed more and more on the earth, so that all the high mountains, which are everywhere under the heavens, were covered. And there were high mountains before the flood. Again, we see the water increasing to the point of covering the mountains, not just mountains, but high mountains. Chapter 7, verse 20. The water prevailed 15 cubits higher, and the mountains were covered. How high? 15 cubits over the tallest mountains. Do you remember when Noah was building an ark that a cubit is about 18 inches? 15 times 18 equals 270 inches, or 22 and a half feet. This is approximate. A cubit is very close to an 18-inch measurement. With this kind of depth that these verses state, this could not have been a local flood in any sense. It was a global flood. It covered the highest mountains by 22 and a half feet. Chapter 7, verse 21. All flesh that moved on the earth perished, birds and cattle and beasts and every swarming thing that swarms upon the earth, and all mankind. The water was so high that everything died that was not on the ark. All flesh perished. Remember, this was all flesh that had the breath of life. And verse 22 gives more information. It's not a local flood. And so we pick up verse 22. Of all that was on the dry land, all which in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life died. This is very specific because you're going to say, well, what about the fish or aquatic type animals? They're not on the dry land. And that's what this verse is informing us. Although there are things that will perish because of the overall devastation, we don't have any mention of anything of an aquatic animal coming into the ark. We have creeping things. Chapter 7, verse 23. Thus he blotted out every living thing that was upon the face of the land, from man to animals, to creeping things, and to birds of the sky, and they were blotted out from the earth, and only Noah was left together with those that were with him in the ark. That's total devastation. This verse gives the final details and should remind us that Elohim also used the language, is transliterated for English, for the word blot in his warning back in chapter 6. He said he was going to blot out everything. A very strong word. Chapter 7, verse 24. The water prevailed upon the earth 150 days. How long did the waters prevail? This number of days was sufficient to make sure that all land-dwelling creatures were blotted out with certainty. Imagine some animals or man floating on trees or other things that could float and trying to stay alive for 150 days. They would be sure to be eradicated after this time frame. Those wishing more detail on the global flood can purchase other books from www.icr.org, and many excellent titles can be had from www.icr.org. answersingenesis.org.